The theme for this year is water and energy, underscoring the very intense, intricate, and complex linkages between water and energy. Water is needed to make energy in many cases. Energy is needed to bring water to people, to livelihoods, and to other needs.
Explain this further. How?
Sure. Everything from pumping water from groundwater requires energy to bring the water up, so you need electricity. Water can be used to generate power, electricity, energy, with hydropower, of course. And so one of the complexities of managing water and managing energy in synchrony is when you are in situations where there's either shortages of water to meet energy needs or shortages of energy to meet water needs.
Let's talk about this situation of water and energy on the African continent. How is it?
Africa is a very interesting case for water and energy because many parts of Africa are still developing, largely undeveloped, and many parts are very poor still. In fact, in Africa, you see a higher, much higher proportion of energy that's coming from water-related, that is hydropower resources, than in other parts of the world. And of course, that reflects the fact that some African economies have not advanced to the stage where they've got large-scale coal, oil, gas, power-generating facilities, so they have often turned to their water resources. And so Africa is home to some of the more impressive hydropower, both existing facilities in the world, such as the Aswan Dam in Egypt, and plans underway for quite substantial hydropower projects, for example, in Ethiopia, in the upper parts of the Nile River. There's important dams being planned right now in the Congo River. There's dams in the Senegal River. So a sizable proportion of Africa's electricity is indeed from hydropower. Now, you could say that has a good light to it because it's renewable, but it raises issues as well. The downstream countries get concerned with how much water will be removed. So it's very sensitive, very politically charged issue.
And how is it being managed right now?
There's certainly, I think, a lot of negotiations and discussions and sharing of information between the countries involved. Hydropower, it's never simple. It's always politically complex, technically complex. And so the world, you may recall, in the, I think, the early 2000s, the World Commission on Dams was created and put out a very important report that looked, you know, at the whole scope of issues surrounding hydropower, both the costs and the benefits of hydropower.
Are ordinary Africans benefiting from hydropower?
Yes, hydropower obviously can increase your electricity generation substantially. But then, of course, if you want that to reach the people, not just in the cities, but in the semi-rural and the rural areas, you need a grid. That gets challenging as well because many Africans do live in some of the more remote rural regions. And so connecting those communities to power grids is expensive and difficult. And so that's pushed a lot of communities increasingly looking at the so-called decentralized power, where there are local sources through, for example, renewables such as solar, such as wind, where you don't have to deal with the expense and the commitment of these long transmission lines to bring hydropower quite remote from many communities in some African countries.
Earlier, you made mention of coal as a potential source of energy. Is it good? Is it bad?
Well, coal, number one, it's largely abundant, so it's still pretty cheap. But of course, it's well known that coal of the fossil fuels is the most inefficient, mainly in terms of the amount of carbon dioxide that's created. And of course, carbon dioxide is the key greenhouse gas. So coal is the most inefficient fossil fuel to produce energy in terms of impacts of climate change. And so in that respect, there's many incentives to minimize and reduce our dependence on coal, not just in Africa, but anywhere. At the same time, for poorer countries, there are not too many alternatives, particularly if they may be blessed with coal resources. And so it's hard to argue against them, especially in their early stages of power installation and development, using coal.
There's also a discussion about the potential use of nuclear energy for power generation. Is there a link between water and nuclear?
Absolutely. Nuclear doesn't produce fossil fuel, so that's the positive side. But of course, there are risks, as we've seen in places like everything from Chernobyl to the most recent events with earthquake in Fukushima. And then on the water side, yeah, nuclear, of course, generates enormously high temperatures in the turbines and the water that's driving the turbines. Those turbines have to be cooled. And so almost all nuclear plants are located along a water source, a river, to find cooling water.
Now, is the UNDP in any way helping African countries to better tap their hydropower potential?
In a sense, indirectly, of course, at the level of investment, the World Bank is working with a number of African countries in that respect. But UNDP, we work more at the level of helping countries with their overall management of water resources, which may in some countries include the aspect of hydropower. This is the concept of integrated water resources management, which basically aims at addressing water resources in a way that optimizes the social benefits, the economic benefits, and the environmental protection and benefits.